I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis in the Old Testament. Now, that's a book that's easy to find. In the beginning, right? God created the heavens and the earth. But we're not going back that far. We're going back to, we'll read a few verses here from chapter 12. You notice I put in the bulletin chapter 11, verse 10 through Exodus 18, 27. Well, if we read all of that, that'd pretty well wrap it up for the evening. The previous dispensation that we were looking at wrapped up with the Tower of Babel, the confusion of languages, whereby God basically forced the people to separate via their language groups and spread out and fill the earth. So at the beginning, the whole earth used the same language, remember, and the same words. And they didn't do what God said and spread out and fill the earth. They gathered together and they said, let's make a name for ourselves, build a tower to heaven, and we're going to be somebody. And men have been caught up with that idea ever since. We're going to be somebody. We want to make a name for ourselves. And I don't know why that is. Some people talk about leaving a legacy. Well, the Bible doesn't put a lot of stock in that. What we really need to leave behind is a testimony of faithful, godly living, and that will serve us well at the coming judgment seat of Christ. But that's the end of that dispensation. Now we come to yet another dispensation. It's the dispensation of promise or patriarchal rule. I think I've memorized it as the dispensation of the patriarchs, but either one serves us well. So we have the Abrahamic promise here in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, now we say Abrahamic, well his name wasn't changed to Abraham until later, but so we don't say the Abrahamic promise since we know him as Abraham, we use that term. So now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for this particular dispensation that's before us this evening. We can do little more than just allude to it, make a few comments, and just try to get an overview of history. As we review history, we can see your sovereignty, you're in control, whatever is happening out there, and you're accomplishing your purposes through your people, those who respond to you in faith. And Abraham, of course, is a case of that. Help us in our time, in this dispensation, to do well, to believe you, and to live according to your revealed word for us in this age. We saw this morning the end seems to be near. In some sense, the end is near. So help us to make wise use of our time by being level-headed of a sound mind from your perspective, and to love one another fervently as we should. And help us, Lord, to know our gifts and to use those gifts in service for you, because the time is drawing short. Help us to be efficient in our use of our time. And teach us through your word this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Dispensation of promise or patriarchal rule. Until this economy, God dealt directly with all mankind. And that was the way it was. God dealt directly with all mankind. But now he chose one nation, the descendants of Abraham, as a representative test for all mankind. The patriarchs were to obey God, and the promised land and blessings were to be theirs along with their descendants. They failed and were judged by slavery in Egypt, though that failure is a little bit difficult to pinpoint. But the fact that they were a representative test for all mankind seems to be a matter of fact. And if you'll go with me over to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 3. I'm demonstrating that Israel is a representative test for all mankind. Book of Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Notice carefully. Now we know that whatever the law says, uppercase L, clearly a reference, according to our translators, to the Mosaic law system. We know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. Well, who are those who are under the law? The Jewish people, okay? And they said they're going to keep it, Exodus 19. And they got the law in Exodus 20 and following, so forth. So whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. So you might have said that you might have thought they're going to be the ones who give account for it, and that's it. No. It says that every mouth may be closed, and all the world may become accountable to God. See that? So it isn't just Israel whose mouths are closed and are accountable to God, but as a representative people group, what happens to Israel under the law anticipates what would have happened to all Gentiles had they been under the law. So they're all brought to account. So every mouth may be closed, no excuse. All the world may become accountable to God, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Now you probably find other places where they're a representation of what would happen to all mankind had they been under the law, but this is a very specific case, that their failure anticipates the failure of all men under the law. So they did end up in Egypt, as you know, and God had more than a purpose of judgment for the nation down there in Egypt than just that. He's going to make them a great nation. And when they come out of Egypt, they're going to be great and mighty and powerful. And God is going to will have prepared them for entrance into the promised land and to be the people there that he wanted them to be, a bright and shining light in a dark world. They didn't do a very good job of that, but that's seemingly what God's aim and purpose was for the people in bringing them out of the land of Egypt. Now, we could spend, you know, an hour just talking about verses 1 through 3 here in chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives. Now, he didn't exactly do that. He took some of his relatives with him. But be that as it may, they're from the line of Shem that starts in chapter 11, verse 10. And you can see the whole genealogy there coming all the way down to Terah and Abram and other relatives. And so, but God told Abram, leave your country behind. Leave your relatives behind. Go back, go away from your father's house. And then he mentions three things, if Abraham will do this. He's going to have a land. I'm going to show you a land. I'm going to give you this land. And I will make you a great nation, so you have people. And he said, I will bless you. So you've got a land, a people, and a blessing. I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed, or in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Does anybody know where that verse is cited in the New Testament? No? How about Galatians 3? Right. It suddenly hit her. It's Galatians 3. Okay? And so what is this blessing he's talking about? Well, it's a multifaceted blessing, all the things that God did for the nation of Israel, making provision for them, land and plenty of food and places to live and vineyards and so forth. So you have all kinds of blessings, but there's one fundamental blessing that came to the nation, and also Jesus said salvation is of the Jews. So from the Jews to all the people of the world. And what is that blessing? Let's go to Galatians 3, go down there to verse 8. And see if we can see what the blessing is. Galatians 3:8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would do what? Justify the Gentiles by faith. That's justification by faith. That's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's salvation. That's eternal life. So that's part and parcel of the blessing. So the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel, please note, beforehand to Abraham, right there in Genesis 12, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. Now, I think you probably have to have an explanation to understand that line. But we got the explanation from the Apostle Paul, did we not? Paul says that's what he was talking about over there in the book of Genesis in chapter 12. He's talking about justification by faith. which easily extends way beyond the Jewish people to Gentiles everywhere. In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So the blessing has a multifaceted meaning, but the fundamental aspect of the blessing is eternal life by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. Now, he's going to make them a great nation, people, yes. He mentions the seed. Well, the seed, in some specific sense, refers directly to Christ because it's through him that all of these other things happen. And God says, I'm going to give you land. And he mentioned that first, actually, in the context. Do you know what the land is? Anybody know what the boundaries are? You ever seen a map where it says the boundaries of Israel? It might be a little bit difficult to pinpoint it. But go over there to chapter 15, Genesis, not Galatians. There aren't 15 in Galatians, but go to Genesis chapter 15. And down there to verse 18. On that day, now what happens in Genesis chapter 15 beyond what I'm talking about here? Well, in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, you have the Abrahamic promise. But in chapter 15, the Abrahamic promise is turned into a covenant. It's now the Abrahamic covenant. Because remember, God said, take these animals and split them in two, except he didn't have them split the birds and so forth. And the sun was going down in deep sleep. Verse 12 fell upon Abram. And behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years, actually 430 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. They somehow or other, God moved the Egyptians to give them all kinds of things. And so they came out of that land with many, many possessions. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, notice that the generation in this context is approximately 100 years. It's not 20 years, it's not 30 years like we think of a generation. 100 years. People lived a lot longer then. How long did Abraham live? 175 years? Well, that was a long time from our point of view, but you go back to the preceding generation before that, man, people lived for centuries. But from our point of view, well, he had a, well, it says good old age. You should be buried at a good old age. Again, then the fourth generation, they shall return here in the iniquity, of, because he says the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. So God didn't allow the nation of Israel to take the land yet for the simply stated reason that the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. That shows the generosity, the grace, and the mercy of God. He gave these people who were corrupt, pagan, godless insofar as the real God was concerned, and he basically said to Israel, don't wipe them out yet. I'm going to give them a chance. Well, I think this is an incredible... People get all mad at God because he told the Israelites to go in there and wipe them out. Well, they forget what God gave the people of the land. 400 years to get right. More than four centuries to get right. And they just didn't do it. But when they came out of the land of Egypt, the Jews, guess what? The iniquity of the Amorite was complete. It was time for judgment. But Israel was reluctant. You remember they went up there on the land, border of the land, God says, go in. And they responded to the report of the bad report of the 10 spies. They said, we can't go in there. We're just pipsqueaks. We're just little Jewish people. And we'll get wiped out by those people. We'll be trampled into the ground and we'll be wiped out. And so we're not going in. So God swore in his wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Guess what? The people of the land got 40 more years. Right? They got 40 more years. Now, God's judging Israel because they have to go out in the desert region down there and die off, those age 20 and older. But in the meantime, the people of the land were granted more time. They didn't take advantage of the time. They continued in hardness of heart, did their own thing, pagan religion, idolatry, immorality. They continued with the same old lifestyle. But anyway, that's what's going on with the people of the land. It came about when the sun had set that it was very dark, verse 17, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between the pieces, the animals that had been cut up and so forth. And on that day, please note the terminology, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. He's asleep. shows you that it's an unconditional covenant. He's asleep. He's not sitting at his desk ready to sign. He's asleep. And God makes this oven pass through. And he made a covenant with Abram saying, and this is what he said. To your descendants, he said, I have given this land. Now notice the boundaries. From the river of Egypt, what do you think the river of Egypt is? Some people think it's a little dry wadi down there in southern Israel. That is not the river of Egypt. You see that little whole gulch down through? That's not the river of Egypt. The river of Egypt is the Nile. That's the only river of Egypt that you can pay any attention to. So you got the river of Egypt, and then he says, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. So you got a river of Egypt all the way to Euphrates. I probably should have put a map up there. But you've got Bible maps. You can look back there. You've got your handheld device. You can bring it up. An enormous area of land that Israel has never even come close to possessing. Okay? They are going to have their land. The Palestinian covenant says as much. And, well, they were in the land, and, you know, they lived there. But they didn't even conquer the people of the land. So they haven't even come close to having this. But he mentions the various people that were in there, the Kenite, the Kenizzite, the Kadmonite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Rephaim, the Amorite, the Canaanite, I'm not reading all the words, Girgashite and the Jebusite. He said, whatever these people have, you're going to have. Because God owns it. It's his land. Yes, it is his land, as the Billy Graham film said. It's his land, and he can do with it as he pleases, and it's the plan of God to put it into the hands of the Jews, and one day they're going to have it in the kingdom. They're not going to have it before the kingdom. I know they're living there now, the Jews, some of them are. A little narrow strip, and it's not very big, and they're not in the land in faith. They're just there, sort of a political thing. Menachem Begin, somehow after the World War II, managed to get the place recognized and for the, you know, the United Nations. But this isn't even close to fulfilling any biblical prophecy about the land. They're going to have it. And when you and I are in the kingdom, and we take flight to Israel, and by the way, you don't need any kind of airplane. Okay? You don't need the 737 MAX, or the 9, or the 10, or any other airplane, because you got a supernatural body. And you can just think yourself to wherever you want to be under the direction of God and be there at a moment in time. I'm excited about that. But I'm going to rejoice when Israel actually has the land. Because I'm thrilled, because this is God's plan that they should have the land. It's the mercy of God. They don't deserve it. They're recipients of the grace and mercy of God. And I'm going to be thrilled to see them in the land, possessing it and enjoying it and so forth. Maybe I ought to put some more stuff up here. The term promise emphasizes the revelation of this economy, this dispensation, while the term patriarch emphasizes the governmental arrangement. So you have these patriarchs beginning with Abraham and others who are leading the nation of Israel. Following judgments, God's grace was evident in his delivering the people from their oppressors, even destroying them. And he did destroy the people. Well, they didn't do a very good job of what God had intended in terms of judgment, but you know, some of them were wiped out, some of them deceived the people, and they made a deal with them, and they let them live on in a land, and the nation of Israel put them to tribute. They were basically slaves for the nation of Israel. At least they didn't die. But be that as it may, it's another act of mercy on the part of God. The agent of God's deliverance was Moses, of course. I think we know that. Old Testament scripture, there it is. If you want to write down the scripture for the dispensation, there it is, Genesis 11:10 all the way through Exodus 18:27. And I thought about doing a scan of all these chapters, and maybe I should come back and do that next time, because we had such limited time here tonight. In the New Testament passages, which talk about certain things connected with Abraham, his age when he left the land, to go into the new place that God had for him, and the time of Isaac's birth. What's the gap between when he left and the time of Isaac's birth? He's 75, he's 100 when Isaac is born. Abraham, 100 years old. How old is Sarah? 90. That's getting up there. You remember what Abraham said about it? He looked at his body, now as good as dead. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, and he's thinking, man, circumstances don't look real good here for the fulfillment of the promise of God. But he looked to God and he grew strong in faith because he considered this, that God who promised was able also to perform. Therefore, it was what? Reckoned to him for righteousness. In fact, in Genesis 15:6, it says that. Then he believed in the Lord and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. That's justification by faith way back in the Old Testament. And of course, you can look at all of Galatians 3:15 through 29. Notice the promise of Genesis 12:1-3 was reiterated to Isaac. So the fact that Abraham is gone doesn't change anything. The promise is still in place. So Isaac also was made a recipient of that same promise. The age for this dispensation is from Abraham to Moses. Anybody care to conjecture how many years that is? Remember, we're still in the book of Genesis. We're moving along through the dispensations. The time period was from 2090 to 1446 BC, a span of 644 years, which of course is way more years than our country has been a country recognized in the world. So God is very patient in all these dispensations. Even though there's not that much scripture here, you have to realize the vast amounts of times that are passing in each of these dispensations. And I think that's the wraps up our notes for this section. We're already past time anyway. Jenny said she had to leave, so she said we could either do an a cappella song or I could close in prayer. Well, I don't know any a cappella song, so I'll just close in prayer. I don't really know what else to do, so all rise, please.